Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dustin, I love our next guest. He's one of the best in the business. I'll tell you, most guys who did not play the sport at the highest level could not be an analyst. And I know that technically Mike Ferrin is not an analyst. He's a play-by-play guy, and he hosts a show on Sirius XM, which is great. But, Mike, you could be an analyst, man. You know as much about baseball, and I am a total snob when it comes to baseball, and I think I know more than everybody. And you know more about baseball than any non-player I have ever heard in the radio. That's honestly how I feel.
Well, I have a sickness, and so it's an obsession with baseball. And so I appreciate you saying that. I'm blushing right now. My daughter.
Well, Mike, it's good to have you. And I know, you know, for us, this has been weird because, like, for 2 months, my partner and I, almost 2 months, we've been working from home. Yeah. But you guys on Sirius, you work from home all the time, right?
Yeah, I have for years, and what's changed with us is that our studios have been closed because we have two big studio setups, one in New York and one in D.C. And so, you know, it's been non-essential personnel has been at home, and so they've tried to limit as many people there as possible. So my co-host Jim Duquette and I have basically been connecting to each other every day to record an hour-long program. So that's where it's been a little different from us. Working at home, no change. And I got to tell you, I love it. I've been working at home for like 7 years, and I love it. I kept trying to talk my wife into it, and now that she's working from home, she's like, I don't want to be around you.
Now, I think that's happening to a lot of people, Mike. Yeah. We're getting sick of each other.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah. All right, Mike. So, listen, every day we seem to hear, you know, new rumblings. Obviously, Trevor Plouffe put out that tweet the other day, and we had Keith Law on with us yesterday, and he shot that down. He shot down the three-pod idea. You know, nobody seems to know. I think the only thing we know is that we don't know anything. What do you make? What's your best hope, shall I say, for baseball right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think here's what we can guess is that, you know, we kind of felt all along that when the CDC's initial guidelines for limitations on groups of people, groups of 10 or more, was set to expire, which is, I think, May 10th. Right around then is when we probably would have an idea of what would happen next. And what's today, May 6th?
Yep.
So, like, we're getting into that. Just in listening to some players that we've talked to and some in other interviews, it sounds like the Players Association is anticipating that they'll receive some sort of proposal from Major League Baseball within the next week or so. Major League Baseball's preference certainly seems to be, and their owner's preference certainly seems to be, to play as many games as possible in the home stadium, so we don't know if that's necessarily possible. There could be, you know, maybe not the three-state plan, but there could be a couple of hubs to start with. There could be backup plans if something were to happen over the course of the season. So I think there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of ins and outs and a lot of what have yous, but I think the biggest key is that, you know, the dates have stayed pretty consistent in just about every conversation, which has been, you know, some sort of spring training, you know, version two getting underway next month and then potentially starting the season towards the end of June or beginning of July, so long as the virus isn't out of control and that there is reasonable testing, I think, available for all of those who would be participating.
You know, we spoke with Keith Law yesterday and asked him some of the potential rule changes, what you think could, or asked him what he thought could be put into play. He thinks the DH, universal DH, could be in play, and obviously down the road maybe we get to that point as well. Do you think there's any other rule changes we could see?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't even know. I mean, if they're going to keep things pretty similar in terms of league and divisional play, I'm not sure that I necessarily buy that the universal DH is going to come into play this year. I think a lot of the rule changes we're going to see would be somewhat temporary ones, or at least experimental. So I think the rosters will certainly be larger. You know, I would not be surprised if teams had access to, you know, all members of the 40-man roster on a given day, and then they were, you know, able to basically designate healthy scratches, right? So it would be a little bit like, you know, what you have in the NHL. You'd dress maybe 28 instead of 26, but you would have that. I think you're probably going to see, you know, a few more doubleheaders, even if we're playing to some sort of July to October plan to get as many games in as possible. If that's the case, we would probably see some seven-inning doubleheaders, which has been commonplace in minor league in college for years and years and years. So I think that that would be something that would be potentially likely. I think there's a possibility that you could see international rules in extra innings to try and not wear any team out from having enough pitching. And so, you know, in the 12th inning, you might have, you know, you start with a couple of runners on base, which is what they've done in the minors the last few seasons, which is the rule in international play. And so I think it's probably more minor. There could be a chance for universal DH, but a lot of those discussions, at least publicly, have seemed to come out of the ideas that the leagues could be blown up to some degree as we know them currently. And I don't know that in any of these, the latest iterations of at least, you know, what we've speculated on ideas publicly, that you know, there has been anything that will take you outside the comforts of your normal league.
Mike, you mentioned the potential to put runners on bases, like for extra innings. I'm a huge fan of that. I know my partner, who is old school, more traditionalist than me. I'm just kind of like, let's get this game over with as soon as possible. But I like that idea. Yeah, I'm not a diehard baseball. I'm a football guy. Okay. Bull's more of the baseball guy here on the show. But we talk a ton about the Indians, and I like that idea. I think it's interesting, certainly in extra innings. I mean, not that you have a million games that go 15 innings or something like that, but, like, right. You know, I would be, like, interested if the game's tied, you know, and going to the ninth inning. I'm thinking, sweet, maybe we get extra innings and we get to see that crazy rule that they've implemented.
Yeah, I don't know if it would happen in the 10th inning. I mean, that's what has happened in the minor leagues, but internationally, right. I think it's after the 11th is okay. when it comes into play now. I do think, you know, if that's the case, that it impacts such a small number of games over the course of the season that it probably doesn't have a huge impact. And if you're considering it as an idea, you might as well try it. You know, one of my favorite games that I've ever covered was the 19-inning Diamondbacks Cardinals game last September, which, like, we had to play a day game the next day, too, which sucked. But it was a great game. Like, it was really cool. And so I do enjoy some of those aspects, but I also can see the other side of it and the idea of creating some of those, you know, more exciting moments, I guess, a la the you know, shootout in hockey. So, you know, it's something that's been tried in the minor leagues. It wouldn't surprise me if that's something that were to happen. And, you know, really, baseball is, in their current commissioner, Rob Manfred, as an attorney, really looks to precedence. So I think if you're looking at things that have happened in other leagues that Major League Baseball has affiliation to, I think those are things that you could see potentially come into play.
We're talking with Mike Farron, SiriusXM MLB Radio. Also, this pre and post for the Diamondbacks. Mike, you know, one thing that has me a little concerned, and baseball better not let this happen. If they come up with a plan, but then they don't play because the players and owners can't decide if there's going to be further cuts to the salaries because of no fans in the stands, that's a disaster if that happens. Do you think there's any chance that could?
I mean, I think you're always mindful of the chance that something like that could happen, but I just think it's so distasteful to have the idea of billionaires and millionaires arguing over money when there's what 30 million people that are currently unemployed. You know, yep. Like I think it would be such a bad look Now, who knows what happens in, you know, communication and negotiation that forces somebody to dig in their heels. And certainly the Players Association feels like this has already been negotiated, and Major League Baseball doesn't. But I think it's something that is at least mindful to watch. You know, I took a lot of heart in a conversation that Ross Stripling had yesterday on a podcast with The Athletic. Writers who cover the Dodgers, in which he was mindful of that. And Ross is one, I think, you know, smarter players in baseball. He's not on the executive committee for the Players Association, but I think he will be at some point. And he basically said that. He was like, listen, nobody wants to hear us arguing over money at this point, and we have to be thinking about, you know, what happens with being able to get baseball back. But, again, nobody wants to hear how much teams are losing, but, like, revenues are going to be significantly cut. Players are already taking a haircut on their salaries. I mean, it's going to be a prorated portion of, based on the number of games played. So, like, there's already money that's going to be lost. And you know, quite frankly, in the long term, there are going to be jobs that are lost in Major League Baseball. Not from the player side necessarily, but in terms of people who work in front offices, and not just on the baseball side, but, you know, the people who aren't making a ton of money, who might work in sales or marketing or, you know, any of these other jobs that are around the team that may end up being let go because teams are going to be trying to save money there, because, you know, I mean, just about everybody is feeling the pain of you know, the current situation economically.
We're talking with Mike Farron on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, I've been watching these, you know, because I'm desperate for baseball. I've been watching these KBO games, right?
Yeah.
I watched a replay of the game from two nights at 1 o'clock in the morning. But I was up early this morning. I watched almost the entire game this morning. I like that they're, you know, piping in a little bit of, like, crowd noise. It's kind of mellow, but I think it helps. I like it. Well, what did you think about that? Do you think they will do that in MLB?
That was the first thing I noticed too. And it was in, and I'm with you. I think it created just like a flat audio baseline, right?
Yes.
For it, right? So it's like having white noise in the background, right? So and I didn't find it distracting at all. I thought it was good to help fill it out. Like, you noticed it then when there was a foul ball and there's nobody in the stands, but I didn't really think of it from the sound standpoint. It's like I caught it about three batters in and I was like, okay, this is interesting. And like, it felt natural, it felt right. So, I think what you're talking about is any games that are going to start the season, you know, there's not going to be fans in the stands for any games that would start the season, if we're talking about this as a timeline where games are going to be played, you know, potentially in July, then I think you're creating made-for-media events, made-for-television, made-for-radio. And so what you have to do is be able to have some level of, you know, audio quality behind that to be able to enhance the broadcast in whatever way you can. And I didn't find it displeasing at all. I thought it was kind of nice to have it. And, you know, it helped to create the feel that you were, you know, watching a game with a pretty moderate crowd.
Yeah. Mike, let me ask you about the Indians here in Francisco Lindor. How does this sort of interesting, you know, off-season / delayed season potentially affect his free agency, in your opinion?
Oh, boy, that's a great question, because, I don't know. I mean, you know, I was pretty optimistic after being in Indians camp that they were going to be able to get something done long-term at some point, and I know both sides have stopped talking for now, but then now we're in a transactional freeze anyway. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to impact free agency in the 2020-2021 offseason, let alone what it's going to do for 2021-2022, which is a pretty great class, potentially, because you have Lindor and Baez and Trevor Story, who with the Rockies, who doesn't get as much attention because I think people say, well, I put up those numbers in court, but that guy's a damn good player, too, and they're all the same age, basically. Story and Baez might be a year older than Lindor. Like, they're all going to be free agents at the same time. And I don't know what the contracts look like then. And then the other part of it is, like, we don't know what the Indians' finances are. And, you know, they have cried poor for a long time. And if they are, I can't imagine that not selling tickets to games is going to help them, even though the majority of team revenue, you know, comes from media rights now. It's still a huge chunk that they're going to lose. So I don't know if it changes the equation much. I don't know who it changes the equation for more. But that's going to be one of the questions that we have to follow, you know, much further down the line. I think just to follow up on that, and I don't know that this applies to the Indians necessarily, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see something that happens when we come out of this that's akin to what happened after the lockout ended in 1995, when you have some teams that are really in dire financial straits that need to move payroll immediately. And there could be some teams that have a little bit of powder that's dry, that they're able to take on some significant contracts for a team that may not be financially solvent because they're either leveraged or most of their you know, value is on paper as opposed to the cash flow, and they need to do something to try and keep the franchise afloat. That would not surprise me at all. Now, I don't know that that necessarily applies to the Indians. Payroll is still relatively modest, but I could see some scenarios where there's some other teams that maybe have already cut executive salaries and have been concerned about furloughs, that could be something that happens over the course of those first couple of weeks as we get back into spring training mark two.
Mike, as always, great to have you on, man. Great insight. Keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll get baseball back soon. Can't wait. Thanks, Mike.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.